fucker to you. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Meat for the Beast. This is episode 19 with your host Jim C and me, McVie.
Yeah.
19, roundup of the year of 2015. And
the prolific bastards that are Meat for the Beast.
We've done all right, man. We've done all right. We were just saying this off air. I think we're close to, 2 years, shy of 3 months, and
We've
done 19 eps. I don't think that's bad.
Yeah, it could be worse.
We live in different cities. Different counties.
This McVie motherfucker can't Skype anymore, can he?
I could actually Skype.
Could you? On your phone?
No, I've got a computer.
But
I'd rather not.
Yeah, I prefer this.
I prefer this.
McVie's treating me to a nice meal.
Yeah.
I just had a good mandate.
Yeah, we'll put a photo up of us in the restaurant looking uncomfortable. Is this alright? Two men dining alone?
Down at Mud Crab. Why is it called Mud Crab, by the way? Is there any reason behind it?
I have no idea. I don't know.
It sounds very seafood, doesn't it? Not that
it
distance
away
from
anything. It does.
It's very nice.
I did have some fish, though.
Yeah. You had a fish risotto, wasn't it?
Fish jambalaya.
Right.
It was delicious.
I was the fucking bell end eating the man versus food in a burger.
Well, you like what you like, and if that's what you like, eat
it.
But we had a nice meal.
It's Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Sorry we didn't do a Christmas ep, but after last year, maybe it's for the best.
Yeah, there is that. Fucking hell.
And it's good to be back.
Arsehole. Shit.
So we thought it'd be nice to, wrap up 2015, talk through, shoot the shit. And also Christmas, what Christmas brought for us, what gifts we were bestowed upon with, rather.
Yeah.
All right, so I mentioned a 1980s movie graveyard. I've mentioned the 1980s movie graveyard before a couple of times. The main men, Corrie G and Goat. I've been chatting with Corrie on Facebook. Shout out to those guys.
Hello.
Yeah, so we appreciate all the plugs. Check them out. You can find them on Facebook, 1980s Movie Graveyard. They post cool shit every day, and the podcast is well worth checking out. And I put in a request because they often do a good impression of the garbage man from Terminator. So I'd ask for a shout out of that impression with my name attached, and they gave the Beast a good little shout out. So we thought in return maybe we could reenact some kind of scene, and we were like sort of struggling to think of what we could do, but I came up with the idea of a scene from Trainspotting where Begbie glasses a woman deliberately and then starts a fight.
And I would say, would the 1980s movie graveyard boys like to hear that?
Well, let's.
Oh, you're going to force
let's
it on
just
them.
Fucking go
you're
for
gonna
it.
You're going to force right? it on them. Who am I? Right, you're going to do.
So, Jim, I'm doing pint, glass, and meathead.
Yeah.
So imagine Begbie throwing old school fucking, what do you call those pint glasses that are chunky as fuck?
It's really a tankard, isn't it? But I don't know what they're called.
So you got to imagine you're in some shitty Scottish fucking boozer. If you've ever been to Scotland, that won't be very hard, but.
No, like retraction there, straight away, son.
I want to kill you, I love Scotland.
You're fucking racist.
And technically, we're both sort of Scottish, aren't we? Because
I think I'm a quarter Scottish.
Yeah, well, like our names probably both hark back to Scotland.
Well, exactly.
And McVie sounds like some made-up bullshit.
Those Celts.
There wasn't Conway clan,
what's
by the
Conway?
Way.
What's Conway?
Conheely, as the Scots called it.
Really?
Conheely.
Well, McVie is from the old Gaelic Mac and Vaha, which actually means son of life. What do you think of that shit?
Yeah, bullshit.
I fucking read it on a thing.
Fucking plastic paddy to me.
Fucking outrageous.
So anyway, should we do this impression?
Oh, yeah. So does it start with a pint glass?
So Begbie throws a pint glass. Hey! This lassie's been glassed, and nae cunt gets out of here till we find out what cunt did this.
Who the fuck are you?
Ah!
Right in the dick.
There you go.
There you go.
So that's going out to 1980s Movie Graveyard.
Even though they didn't request it.
They've got it anyway, boys.
But if you want us to do something different, we'll try.
In fact, we were going to put a shout out for any requests from our listeners.
In fact, yeah, let's do that.
If you want us to reenact a scene from a film.
Yeah, like good ones.
Yeah,
like,
we'll do it in a shitty fucking, like some shitty Chris Moyles fucking. Yeah,
yeah, it'll be legit. Like, you know, if you want Harvey Keitel from Bad Lieutenant having a cry in a wank. Quite happy to oblige.
Winston Zeddemore giving a hard pitch to the mayor of New York. I've seen shit that'll turn folks white. Be great. Oh, what about your King Willie person? That was quite good.
No, I feel King Willie is too good to give away for free.
Okay.
Fucking Lord Almighty, man. That's not King Willie.
You can't see the eyes in the dead. Alright. We've been boozing. Apologies. Terrible start to the episode. So how was Christmas for you, McVeigh?
It was an interesting one. But got through it. I think the whole of the Christmas period for me, every time I have Christmas, I've got to go back to the homelands, which is granted only an hour away. But I always feel like Bret Easton Ellis is always writing my Christmas adventures, because I'm either recovering from or working on a hangover, and I get up to all manner of mischief, and I have no control over what happens until I go back to work. I'm looking forward to going back to work, so it will stop.
No sympathy from me. I started my day with a punch in the back from my 2-year-old, and ended it with pretty much being pissed on.
Fucking hell.
So, I fucking envy you, mate.
Let's drink to our self-inflicted misery. We did it to ourselves.
Pain we caused ourselves, yeah.
Fucking lifestyle choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort yourselves out, kids. Just say no.
Yeah, if you read about me walking in front of a train, this can be my fucking suicide note this episode.
Can I have your Wacom drawing? Oh. I'll draw some right nice pictures.
Prezzies, what did you get? Anything good?
I got some cash, got some booze, I got Guardians of the Galaxy, some CDs.
What's your tipple, McVeigh?
My tipple? It was actually, my tipple is not this that I got, but my dad doesn't know what I drink, so he just got me a litre of Jack Daniels.
I'm not
going to fucking complain about that.
It's alright, isn't it?
Yeah. And I treated
myself. Fucking litre of
Jack Daniels. A litre of it, yeah.
What the fuck? Is that like four bottles or something, or just one big ass bottle?
It's one and a third. It's a big bottle.
That's all right.
I know. We'll crack on that in a bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I treated myself pre-Christmasly to Christmasly.
to what?
A reputable online trader were selling their Bourbon Day, and it was like 40% off. So I got myself a bottle of Bullet Bourbon for like £15. That's a bargain. It should have been 25.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Any films, comics, anything like that? Anything relevant? You know, Beat for the Beastie.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Good choice,
fine.
Good choice, sir.
Fine film.
Good, hell of a film.
Yeah. I got some vouchers for some other store that's useful to me.
Yeah.
Being a man in a flat now, I can buy something. I might buy a rug or a coffee table.
IKEA.
Not IKEA, no.
John Lewis.
I'm not naming it. Not Coles.
Coverland. We can get you sent down Coles.
I can get myself to Coles now.
We can get you sent to Coles, mate.
get a glass coffee table.
Tell you what. Credit, all jokes aside, my days of building, like, McVeigh's been hitting the fucking flat packs hard, but my days of building shit are over. I fucking hate building furniture, and it always falls apart as well.
I haven't, I haven't built a thing since I've been in here. This all came with me.
Oh, that's good.
I haven't built jack shit.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, rest assured, I have not built anything.
That's all right, so you've got a couple of bookshelves.
The extent of my building has been screwing the stand on that telly. But yeah, a couple of books. Some Batman egg cups, and it was a sweet haul. What did Santa bring you? What did his sack entail?
Well, it was a bit of a hollow Christmas day, because I don't like getting shit, being a bit OCD, so I basically ordered my own presents for the most part.
Sorry, what? You don't...
Ordered my own presents.
No, I understand that, but you...
I don't like getting shit I don't want, so
Why don't you just make a, like a wish list on Amazon and then plug in the fucking thing into your browser so that you can go to other online stores and make it like a magic list so that someone else can access?
Because I've got better stuff to do.
It makes it a bit more festive. All right, fair enough.
Well, basically, we did have this plan to go to town together and buy each other gifts, like me and Melissa. And the kid got ill and then we got ill. So it was like, all right, this isn't going to happen. So we just did the dirty Amazon orders. And I ordered myself The Men of Tomorrow, which is a good Superman graphic novel.
Okay.
Which is a bit strange. It's drawn by John Romita Jr. If you're not familiar with his work, he did the Kick-Ass books. So most people have probably seen them, even on, you know, just covers on a shelf or whatever. He also did a lot of the Marvel, you know, he's mainly known for Marvel, like Spidey, Daredevil, a bit of Captain America. So it's quite surreal because it is very Marvel style, but drawing Superman.
Right.
And there's a new guy called Ulysses who's a bit like, he's gone to another dimension and he comes back with Superman-like powers as an adult.
Right.
He went as a kid, so he's like a bit of a Superman kind of doppelganger in a way. And they kind of work together for a while and then things predictably go a bit tits up. And it was a really interesting book. I do like to get a graphic novel over Christmas. It means I don't have to deal with fucking anyone around me for at least a few hours. So, and I got some Jean-Michel Jarre music. Did we figure out what fucking TV show that was from? By
working on it, mate. Working on it. Talk to people.
I'll
fire it up.
There's a pub in Stockport. I live near Stockport. And there's a pub called The Magnet, and the landlord or landlady, I won't be sexist, they seem to have done...
Oxygen, wasn't it?
Yeah, Oxygen, yeah. whoever runs the pub's done some homage to their favourite albums in the toilet, and they've put all these vinyl sleeves on the wall of the La Pisserie. And one of them was...
That's not actually French for toilet.
I need a lapisseur, le please.
Nope. Sorry. Stop it. You've gone again.
Ich muss für kein Schwein.
Nope, stop.
One of them had a bunch of blokes with binoculars. It's really interesting, the illustration. I was like, what the fuck's that? And I was so blown away by this album cover, I decided to buy the album. And I went to HMV to buy it. I didn't want to just order it. I felt like it deserved a trip. And there's no... Independent record stores are pretty much gone, aren't they? And like...
Well, you could have gone to Piccadilly Records in Manchester.
Yeah, but it probably would have cost me four times the amount and had some...
Yeah, but you know that all that money would be going to Jean-Michel.
Yeah. Don't know what high-five that, but...
It's the independence creaming it off for them.
So okay. Oh, really?
Cool. I imagine. I don't know. Okay. I'm being cynical. James.
Anyway, and some nice beardy man in HMV was very happy. I was buying Jean-Michel Jarre. This is going back a couple of months, and he gave me a long speech about his work. So I bought Oxygen for Christmas.
Nice.
Which is very good. And I also got Mad Max Fury Road 3D off Mel's folks, because I'm planning on getting a better television. Which is still great. I must admit, you know, the cinema experience was a proper fucking assault on the senses.
One of the films of the year, isn't it?
Oh, mate, fucking too right. Yeah.
Not me.
Well, it was obviously on television with a fucking, you know, wife and baby upstairs. It was a little bit less impactful, if you know what I mean.
I can imagine. Well, yeah.
So, but it, you know, it still stands up.
Yeah.
It was a good watch, and... some good, really good extras on it as well.
Cool.
Yeah, so loaded with extras.
Good.
All about, fucking hell, I should know this shit. Some 2000 AD guy from the 80s had this...
I thought we had this discussion.
Mental style.
Yeah, and...
But I noticed it's Brendan Gleeson.
No, it's not.
Because Brendan Gleeson did all the production art.
We've got this, it's the same guy did the production art, right?
Yeah. Go on, let's look this full up. Look that shit up, McVeigh.
You can hit up on my internet phone.
Nah, you couldn't get us over here. So we looked up which cunt drew this.
Exactly. We're going to find out, and we're telling you soon. Once
Brendan McCarthy. Brendan McCarthy, that's it.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, he used to do some crazy shit for 2000 AD, you know. I'm pretty sure some of his stuff would have influenced Jamie Hewlett, because it predated Tank Girl.
Right.
You know, because Tank Girl wasn't out until about 87, 88. And I was picking up those 2000 AD books in about 85, 86. So it checks out, I reckon.
Good. Bloody hell.
That shit checks out. New Year's. Any New Year's shit going on?
Yeah. I went celebrating New Year, rang in the New Year with a bunch of pals.
Yeah.
Got entirely drunk, but spent my New Year's Day hungover, but eating lasagna, watching Dread.
Ooh.
Which is fucking
yeah.
Ace.
Hell yeah.
Also, I think you bought me that before I even had an actual telly to watch a Blu-ray on.
Right.
Dread is full of little tiny Easter eggs if you know where you're looking. And if anyone's familiar with Dread and the Stallone version, there's a bit at the beginning where Dread's narrating, you know.
If you're not familiar, turn off now and go fuck yourself, quite frankly. And come back when you are. That's all I'm going to say.
I'll just fast forward like 2 minutes. At the start, Dredd's narrating, like, the cursed earth, it's all gone to shit, how many million people living here, and you have, like, footage of, like, CCTV and news footage, and there's one bit of the news footage where you'll see civil unrest and people wearing masks and tanks and shit, and it's all grainy, but at the bottom there's, like, a scrolling little bar, and it says, like, day two of the Fergie Memorial riots. And I'm like, Fergie? Spelled with a double E instead of an IE at the end, and I'm like, hang on a minute. And Fergie was the name of Rob Schneider's character,
comedy sidekick
in the Stallone Dread.
Shit.
He was something Ferguson, he was called Fergie, spelt Fergie with a double E.
Is it Rob Schneider, is it Rob Schneider or something?
Schneider or Schneider?
Juice
Bigelow.
Juice Bigelow.
Yeah.
I had an interesting fact. Apparently, he was going to be in a sitcom based on American Splendor. And he was all behind it because he's a big comic man. It never happened.
Part of me could see that
almost working.
Yeah.
In a weird alternate reality.
I think he's a weird little fella. He looks like a short dude. Like David Spade. Do you know him?
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of the Saturday Night Live guys who, it's like they could do better if they, I kind of want better for them. Than they seem to want.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think so, yeah.
Well, that's why David Spade's in fucking shite, like.
Well, if fucking Dudley Moore can get big roles, any fucker can't they?
Well, true. I don't think it's a. That's not a little guy thing.
Actually, the 80s movie Graveyard Guys did one about Supergirl, right? And they were saying. being from America, they didn't really know much about Peter Cook. They were like, who's this old dude with shit teeth? And it's
fucking
like. And like one of them was like, oh yeah, he used to be a comedy duo with Dudley Moore. But what they didn't know was Dudley Moore was the fucking gimp. Dudley Moore was the gimp that did good. And old Peter Cook was kind of the John Lennon of it. It was as if like John Lennon and Ringo set up a band and Ringo ended up fucking making more money out of it or something.
Fucking hell.
Although he was on, I remember seeing Peter Cook on Clive James, was it? He came on Clive James's show a few times and really wasn't funny when he was old.
No.
But I think in his younger days he was pretty cool.
Yeah. Derek and Clive. Fucking.
Right.
Look. Did you ever listen to any of their shit?
Some of it. I
find it hard going. But it's edgy. And I'm like.
Yeah.
It's amusing me.
It's kind of radio plays, isn't it?
Yeah. But hard work.
Right, yeah.
But remember. I used to work in Virgin Megastore, which is a now defunct chain, so I think we can just mention them as a thing. And there was a guy who worked there. It was right funny. He would take the piss out of anything using like poster tubes and stuff. But he would quite regularly walk about, after we closed the shop and were tidying up, he'd walk about like chanting Derek and Clive skits, and it's like, I don't know what it was called. But he's the only source of reference. And it's like, oh, my old mum came in my room and sat my tiny knob. And he would walk about the shop floor singing this. And I'm like, what the fuck are you on about, Greg? And he's like, oh, It's a Derek and Clive sketch. Is it? But yeah, I'm not singing it on purpose. And I, whenever I've checked out Derek and Clive, I even bought a couple of CDs. I'm like, this isn't for me. I'm not getting much out of this. It's marginally amusing and it's a bit rude. And that's as far as I'll go.
Comedy does age badly though, doesn't it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, even when, if you see Bill Hicks now, it's all about some war you don't care about and... Older Bill, what's his name? Phil Spinks.
Who's Phil Spinks?
Stuart Lee did a piss take of Bill Hicks.
Right.
He created some character called, I think it was Phil Spinks, it was something like that. And he got some old guy that's supposed, some old black dude supposed to be, presumably Richard Pryor. And he's going, Phil Spinks, yeah. And everything he said then. Still relevant today. And then he's just a black dude totally selling out in some shit Disney film and stuff. It's a good...
That's fair, because I think... what's that shit? Adam Sandler's right shit nowadays.
Yeah,
he's done like three films that are worth a damn in my estimation. Happy Gilmore, Bill and Madison.
Questionable.
Happy Gilmore and Bill and Madison. And maybe a pass for The Wedding Singer. Also... I think special mention for Punch Drunk Love because it's not one of his kind of comedy wank.
I think films. What's the golf film? Is that Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison.
That was all right, to be fair. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry, the golf one. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not really an expert, but. Yeah.
He was out of Saturday Night Live, and Chris Rock was as well. And right, then when you see Grown Ups coming out of the cinema, and it's got Adam Sandler, fucking Paul Blart Mall Cop, whatever he's called, some motherfucker, and Chris Rock. I'm like, oh, Chris Rock, what are you doing? And I'm constantly disappointed for Chris Rock because in the past like 5 years, he's been both doing his own stuff. He's been in the sitcom Louie and then he's been in Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2. And he was in fucking, oh my God, I was in somewhere and What to Expect When You're Expecting happened to be on and I happened to have it inflicted on me. And Chris Rock's in that as well. And I'm like, Chris Rock, what the fuck?
Yeah, because I remember he was in... what's that film with Wesley Snipes?
New
Jack City. Yeah. And he's strung out some young dude.
Smoking crack.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was badass. And he was also like good in that film. But Chris Rock's stand-up is genuinely funny.
Yeah, he's got his mouth.
Like, file alongside Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor, I would say.
Right, yeah.
But and, to see him in...
Richard Blackmore.
Yeah, Richard Blackmore, too. Come on, the star in the West End Shrek.
Kevin McVeigh just told me that it was actually Richard Blackwood. I just remember he got stung with that Chris Morris thing. There was Chris Morris did this. He stung a few celebs where there was a fake drug called Cake.
Oh, was it Cake?
I know it was the pedo one. Richard Blackwood was saying pedos would reach through your fucking computer screen, touch your children. Like, how can you get duped by that?
Fuck knows.
The fuck?
Yeah. You fucking. Phil Collins wearing a cap that says nonce sense.
I can understand that though, because
how can you understand
that's
that?
Like, that's like some bullshit the BBC had commissioned, isn't it? but reaching through your screen, what? That was like late 90s as well.
Yeah.
Surely people. Yeah, anyway, never mind.
Pedogeddon.
British Isles. More like pedophiles.
Like how did Simon Pegg in the Stocks. And Chris Morris has got a filing cabinet with his kids in. He's like, you want to have sex with my kid, don't you? He's like, no, why not? I don't fancy him. Is that all right?
What's wrong with him?
Oh yeah, so, fucking hell, that was 97, man.
What are you looking up, McVeigh? You've got your phone out again.
I'm trying to back up our conversation with actual fact.
Solid facts.
Yeah.
And he had a nice pink arse and no hair on his balls. So it's just been Christmas, the big event, and it was an event really. It wasn't just a film, it felt like a proper event. It was The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens, yeah.
There's been an awakening. Yeah. Have you felt quick?
I have, yeah. Me.
Trousers
unbuckled all of their own accord.
Ooh. I did a good job of avoiding the hype, and I think you did as well.
I think I did. It got to such an extent where a friend of mine was like, we're going to see the midnight screening. We went to see the prequels as midnight screenings.
Yep.
We would have gone to the originals as midnight screenings, but we were at various points, sperm, zero, and then three. So we wouldn't have a say in the matter there. But midnight screening, and I toddled up there. It was good. I watched it with a big grin on my face. Snuck myself in a little bottle of Jack Daniels. Top on my coffee.
Good man.
A little cheeky taste. And
Can I just get a quick shout out in? Daniel Stillings just sorted me out with Watchmen, the fucking, what's it called? The Pirate Cut or something.
Fucking hell, what's that got to do with Star Wars? Put it back. Just write it down. Bring it in after this section.
Ultimate Cut. Fucking bringing the noise. The version of Watchmen with the animation spliced into it. So nice one, Daniel. He's been sorting me out since I had no hair on my balls. Good man, good man. But weren't we going to talk? We're going to go through the whole fucking saga, weren't we? And we also say we're going to spoil the shit out of it.
Oh, we're totally going to spoil the shit out of it. If you've not seen Star Wars,
yeah,
Force Awakens, then
if you've not seen it by what we on January the 2nd,
yeah.
Firstly, you're a cheap motherfucker.
Wait for it to die down. Everyone's got back to work.
I mean, if you give a fuck, you've seen it by now.
If you give a fuck, you've seen it, yeah.
And if you've not seen it by now and you do give a fuck,
I know people, don't listen to this. I know people who don't give a fuck and have seen it.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you care, then tune out when we start talking about it. But I'm guessing you've seen it if you give a shit. So why don't we take it all the way back? All the way back to... Well, should we just go through 1, 2, 3... Keep it real.
Chronological order.
About that shit.
Yeah, let's. Because then we can get that shit out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. Is it 99?
I believe, yeah. Yeah, because it was my first year at university. Still wet behind the ears. I traipsed across the Pennines.
I had a fucking wet by 99. Oh, I've been there.
Good fucking word. Jesus, Jim. Well, I arrived in a new town, all wide-eyed. I spent my first year here in Sheffield. And
three bottle of Hendo's in day one. I just bought some Hendo's as well.
I'm still suffering from a black eye for saying, it's not like fucking Liam Perrins, is it?
Oh.
But it is.
Outrageous.
There's no fucking difference. Actually, no, there is a difference. There is a difference. One's a bit more expensive.
Jesus Christ.
One's a bit more expensive. Jesus has got nothing to do with it.
Let's get back onto the word.
But yeah, that summer, Phantom Menace came out. It felt like I hadn't really thought about Star Wars. Like, we'd had the reissues in 97, the ones that he'd been tinkered with, load of fucking CG jizz all over them.
Yeah.
Star Wars was still fairly fresh in my mind, but I was like,
I suppose that wet the whistle.
Yeah.
I did go and see the first one, which looked awful with the 70s film with all that 90s CG.
That was crap, wasn't it?
It fucking put me right off. I didn't go and see the others. I wish I had now, but...
When they fucking throw in the bit of Jabba and Han Solo walks over his tail.
Oh my God. That's terrible.
It's cringe-inducing. It makes Robocop 3 look fucking good.
Yeah, I was crying out for that fucking jetpack after that. That fucking white dirty line around him.
It was every bit as good as that.
Yeah. So episode 1.
I'll be honest. It came out in May in the States before it came out here a month after, or maybe 2 months after.
Okay.
We had a sweet line to a deal in the... What was it? Opposite Affleck's in Manchester. There was the...
Ooh, the Emporium.
Was it the Emporium? Because the Colosseum.
I think it was the Emporium.
I thought it was the Colosseum.
Oh, fuck you, McVeigh. I reckon it was the Emporium.
Well, I spent more time there than you at that point. I'm going to argue this. I'm going to go with the Colosseum.
Spent a lot of time in the comic shop there. Were you talking behind Affleck's Palace? Like,
Affleck's Palace
near
is
near
there.
The Unicorn Pub.
Yeah, the one that's still the pub. The one that's the pub.
I'm pretty sure that's the Emporium.
It might be now.
If memory serves.
Well, I'm going to put this open there. Was it called the Colosseum or the Emporium?
Emporium.
I'm going to go with Colosseum.
I'll put 5 notes on it.
I'll put a 5 on it as well. I'm going to go with Colosseum. Anyway, me and friend of the show, Rob, something, who's going to remain nameless due to his legitimate business needs, we created a little pirate video empire, and we found a guy in there who used to sell DVDs that had been duped to tape, And he got us a Phantom Menace. So we come back to Sheffield and we have Phantom Menace. We were selling Phantom Menace for 2 months. Neither of us watched it. We were selling it to people. We didn't watch it. We went to the midnight screening. And I came back. I was like, wow, that was right good. It was only with hindsight, and as you grow up, you realise that you were a fucking idiot and it was a piece of shit. I didn't hate Jar Jar. The thing is, though, everyone wails on Jar Jar. Jar Jar wasn't the problem with that film. It was that shit kid.
Oh, man.
The kid was far worse than Jar Jar, man.
Don't say that.
What? Why? Why?
You're not going to stand beside Jar Jar, are you? What the fuck?
No. Jar Jar is still awful.
Yeah.
But he's not the worst thing about that film. That kid is.
Yeah, that kid.
That kid is. In episode 2, the worst thing about it, it's still Mannequin Skywalker. Fucking dog shit.
Yeah. Well, can I do my...
Yeah, let's bring it back. I realised I waffled on a little bit there.
That's all right. I was 99, so I graduated in 2000, so...
I'm balls deep in some grandma.
Was it 99?
It was 99, yeah.
Okay.
I came to uni in 98, and it came out that following summer. It was 99.
Right, okay. So I must have been second year at uni. It's weird. I've got a really good memory, but I can't really remember much about the whole experience, because I think The Matrix was the same year, maybe it was a year after. I remember that and Fight Club and
Matrix was later that year.
Right, okay, yeah. And I remember Alien 3, and I remember everything apart from
Alien 3 was 1992. So
okay,
what are you doing there?
No, wait, no. Alien 4.
That was 97.
Fuck you, right.
Alien 4 was 97.
Year before.
Alien 4 was 97.
I came to you in 98 and saw it 5 months later, the next year.
I'm just trying to help you pin down where you were. Trying to give you an alibi.
I remember being confused because I didn't mind the first bit. I like Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor's hair freaked me out a bit.
Didn't care for that.
And I thought it started okay. Trade negotiations, definite no.
Yes.
That was boring as fuck, and I still don't know what the fuck was going on there and why the even war started. I fucking loved Darth Maul. I think most people share that love. And I even drew a painting of him, which I never finished.
Darth Maul was badass. I remember, even though we went to a midnight screening of the film, we went to a midnight opening of Toys R Us months before to get our hands on some sweet Darth Maul merch.
Fucking hell yeah.
Still got that fucker in a box somewhere.
And in theory, Disney might bring him back. Oh, your mate Ray Park said he's up for it.
Why is he my mate?
Because you've got his autograph for fiver, didn't you?
I haven't, no.
You cheap mother.
I totally don't get his autograph.
Well,
what are you saying? I don't like your implication here, Jim. pay someone for their autograph.
You said
you
saw him in Forbidden Planet or something.
No, I went to see him in Forbidden Planet, but he fucked off. He cancelled it or something.
Oh, he wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
You said he was charging for autographs.
He was charging for autographs.
Right.
Had he been there?
Okay.
But all those fuckers charge for autographs.
Yeah, I kind of get it now. I get it now. But anyway, I'd like to see that. If he comes back with robot legs, like in the cartoon and the comics, that'd be cool.
I'd be good with that.
But I don't know. I can't work out whether those Clone Wars cartoons are still supposed to be continuity or not. It's weird.
The Gendy Tarkovsky?
I think they must be, because they fit in with the film totally. But the Lucas 3D ones.
Yeah.
I'm really not sure whether they still count, because they brought back Darth Maul and there was other Jedis involved that never showed up.
Where does Star Wars Rebels fit in?
That's supposed to be after A New Hope.
Okay, but before?
Before Empire. Empire, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got Vader in it, apparently.
Right.
And it's not only Vader, it's the Ralph McQuarrie Vader, you know, the old concept art guy.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Shit.
So that's pretty... He's got like really angular sort of nasty features like he was going to have originally.
Cool.
A bit more samurai-esque. Yeah, for me, I totally invested in the hype.
Me too.
And I thought it was going to be fucking amazing. I did have a little hesitation, as I remember, but I liked the first bit. I thought Darth Maul was ace. Enjoyed the pod race scene. One thing I strongly remember is like fucking Gungan guys having a war with those skinny robots. Some like day-glow green fucking grass hills and at that point you're thinking, what the fuck is this shit?
Well, I never thought about it at the time. I was just I bought into it to such a degree. I was like, I am being entertained by this shit, but I never really took a step back and thought, what is actually happening?
Yeah,
there's certainly allegations of insensitive racial elements going on with the trade negotiating dudes. I don't know what they're called. They sounded like they were Asian.
Oh, yeah, they were sort of Japanese, weren't they?
Yeah, and you've got Watto, who seemed to own Anakin beforehand, and he's like a stereotypical comedy Jew fellow.
Yeah.
And it's like, at the time, I didn't like buy into it, but I was like, it was washing over me, and
it's not exactly nice to us Brits either, is it? Historically speaking.
No, that's true.
Everybody's basically,
yeah.
You were a member of the Rebel Alliance and a fucking cunt.
Well, that's fine. Well, I guess that's because it was made in fucking Pinewood. It's like, let's get Peter Cush. Let's get
that Mr. Bronson off Grangehill.
Yeah, let's get fucking Don Baker in. Yeah, let's. Yeah, no problem. But,
I just remember
it was weird because I went to midnight screenings on consecutive nights of Phantom Menace.
Okay.
Because someone couldn't go and I went with someone else and then I went again the night after. And I was like, it didn't take me until about 6 months after that I realised it was pretty shit.
Tell you what, through me, ends with a fucking badass saber fight. It's like, I'll stand behind that final fight because it pisses on anything else in the whole saga, that final fight for me. Darth Maul's a fucking badass. Qui-Gon's a badass.
I like it when...
Even Ewan's alright in that bit.
There's a really good bit where they're on either sides of the pit and Darth Maul's just pacing back and forth.
Exuding menace. Yeah. I mean, but what a dick move to kill those guys off.
It doesn't get enough chance to shine. We don't get the full measure of Maul and we don't get to give a shit about Qui-Gon, I don't think.
Yeah. Those two should have led the whole... They should have led the first 2.5 films, I reckon.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Because it seemed to be like each one needed to have like a new baddie, at least.
Mm.
And even, like, would it be fair to say that even Jango Fett gets short shrift in episode 2?
Should we move on to episode 2? You're moving very swiftly today, James. Moving with the speed of the dark side of the force.
What time are we on here?
You're wanting a cigarello, aren't you?
No, I don't want a cigarello, but I'm just thinking, I don't want to spend an hour and a half talking about fucking Star Wars before we get to Force Awakens.
Okay, we're back from that commercial break. So, McVeigh, what were you doing when episode 2 Attack of the Clones came out? Episode Final year
of university.
Blimey.
Again, midnight screening.
Shit.
And I remember coming out of it and being met by, I don't know, Hallam F. Elmo, some twat with a fucking microphone.
James H. Reeves.
So someone with a microphone going, "Hey, how was that? You clearly Star Wars fan, seeing you here at midnight."
Yeah.
And all I remember is going, "It's fucking amazing. Yoda has a fucking lightsaber fight, and it's all over the show, and it's amazing. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen." And at the time, it was, because I didn't expect that. And finally, after 5 films, four. We get to see Yoda being the badass.
We get
to see him kick off. And it might not have aged well, but at the time I wasn't prepared for it. And to see him twatting about all badass against Christopher Lee, it was impressive at the time.
Do you know what? I think I've only seen it once.
I think I've seen it twice.
Yeah. And I remember thinking it was actually all right.
Yeah, me too.
But not. It wasn't a big win, but I like the fact old poor man's Boba Fett was in it. Boba's dad, Jango.
Poor man's Boba Fett. His outfit's
Jango Reinhardt was in it.
Shut up! His fucking outfit's even better than Boba Fett's. It's shinier and purplier.
Well, he's wearing his Mandalorian armor, even though he's just some bellend, wasn't he? Well, I don't know. Maybe he's a Mandalorian warrior or whatever.
I really don't know. They shoehorned. They killed Darth Maul, so they didn't have him to bring back and exude more menace. So let's make another fucking Sith Lord. And what was it Count Dooku?
Dooku. Yeah.
Utterly pointless. I don't know. That could have been someone else doing that. Not diss to Christopher Lee at all. I'm not dissing Christopher
Lee. Dissing Christopher Lee in the year he died.
No, I'm not dissing Christopher Lee.
Tell if I agree with this.
No, the character didn't need to exist. We could have had more Maul.
It could have done with Darth Maul, basically. It would have been a better film with Darth Maul.
I think so.
Although Christopher Lee did okay.
He did fine. He did perfectly fine. Performance. Yeah, and he did well. But at the same time, we also had Jango Fett, who could have been a badder ass. badass and given more to do. But no, all he does is sire the fucking clone troopers. And even then, that's just... What?
What?
That raises so many questions as well. Yeah. You know, like, say one trooper has a crisis of conscience, decides to leave.
That was blatantly George Lucas smoked one too many one night.
Yeah, I think so.
Stuck to a shit idea.
Yeah.
To credit it, one thing I really liked is Obi-Wan goes off on a solo mission a bit like Luke in Dagobah.
Yeah.
And I did like that aspect, even though when he gets to that water planet...
Where they make the clones.
Yeah. The water looks... Now, when you watch it now... Well, I'm not seeing it now, I've just seen clips, but... The water still looks like, I don't know, like it was rendered in fucking Toy Story 1 or something. And the aliens look shit as fuck. Look like fucking, I don't know.
They're not great.
Mission to Mars jobbies.
Am I right in thinking that episode 2 is also where you first see Anakin becoming dark side inclined naturally when he goes and lays waste to a bunch of Tusken Raiders who've fucked his mum up?
Fucking Sandman get... Wasted, that was cool.
Totally get wasted,
yeah. That was a good scene. I don't blame him for that.
No, I don't blame him. I don't blame him for that at all. No,
I slaughtered children! Oh!
No, no, but it's slaughtering the children, aren't they? the kids, they haven't got families, have they? These Tusken Raiders, they've got their own kids. I didn't hate it. I've never hated Attack of the Clones. I never feel in the mood to watch it.
I mean, I'd much rather watch that than Phantom Menace.
Yes.
The ending. I don't remember the ending being much cop. Some fantasy film type shit.
The ending
again.
Of fucking like in an amphitheatre with a bunch of
fucking fly men flying around and a million Jedi's running around and what the fuck is going on? Nobody cares. That was pretty much it, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that lost it at the end, but right at the end, you see what looks like stormtroopers and Death Stars. No, not Death Stars. Star Destroyers.
Yeah.
Kind of half-assed Star Destroyers take off, and some like mini Death Stars, aren't there?
Yeah.
At one point, and so that was kind of cool. I remember liking that.
Yeah.
Yoda. Yoda kicking ass. I never had a problem with the Yoda jumping around.
Never a problem with that.
Because to credit the prequels, in the old days, if Yoda was fighting it, there'd be a lot of scenes of Yoda sort of walking behind a log or something, wouldn't there? Like, you know, like when a lightsaber duel with Oscar the Grouch or whatever. So I get what you know. I don't see how else he could have fought really, other than that sort of Bruce Lee-esque kind of crazy jump around style. So I never minded that. A lot of people had issues with it. But
did they?
Yeah, there's hate for Yoda's fight.
Really?
But I didn't mind it.
I guess I'm a bit shy about speaking well of the prequels, so I kind of keep my cards close to the chest there, I guess.
Right, okay.
But yeah.
Well, you're quite happy to spunk your load over that Transformers shit.
Yeah. Quite happily do that in public. Sit there all lubed up wearing a mankini. No worries.
I'm sorry. I don't mean it.
Of course you do.
I want to shoehorn something in. Before George Lucas made his own 3D Clone Wars animated episodes, there was...
Well, these fit in chronologically where we are now, don't they?
Okay. So Lucas made his 3D Clone Wars series. I think they got about 4 or 5 series out of it.
Yeah, fucking quite a bit.
Yeah, and some of it was okay. I saw some of it. Quite enjoyed the Jedi episodes. There's a few random Jedis like fucking Kit Fisto was in there and Klo Poon or something.
Who's that badass girl Sith? Was it Asajj Ventress?
Ventress. Yeah, she was cool.
She looked pretty badass.
Yeah, they should bring her back. And Darth Maul, of course. Yeah. I'd be quite happy to see those guys come back. What really caught my imagination was the Genndy Tartakovsky. Is that... I think I'm saying that right.
I think it's Tartakovsky,
Well, it was known for Samurai Jack, which I've only just been watching and really like. I really like that. I only saw it about a couple of weeks ago or something.
I like how it's got like... Everything's got a big, thick black outline.
Yeah, he's got a really, really interesting, like, expressive style to it.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And they hired him for MTV to do some shorts that kind of basically showing the Clone Wars, I guess.
Yeah.
I think the first 10 shorts were shown on MTV and they were quite successful, so they gave him, like, here's a bunch of fucking cash to do, like, an hour long short, which became its own little event. And it's fucking sweet. I watched it again today with my little girl. She learnt the word Yoda.
Good.
Yeah. Said it very successfully. I really love that. I think it kind of really shows Anakin in a cool light.
Well, that's good, because, like, the guy could do with some decent press.
Yeah, yeah. Really. Like, they show Anakin get kind of, what's the word? Like, they see him get knighted as a Jedi.
Right.
And after he gets knighted, they cut off that fucking rat tail shit.
Good.
And he grows his hair out and he gets that cool scar and he goes on a mission and he kind of a lot of it's based around in Empire where Luke goes into the kind of weird cove that's strung in the dark side and fights Vader in his head. It's all about Anakin going on this mission inside his own head via helping some natives of a weird planet. So that's cool. And at the same time, we juxtapose it with the start of the third film, which is Sidious being captured by his own side, who don't even know he's Sidious.
Right.
Which is quite interesting. And the Jedis who are defending him, one's a hammerhead, you know, from the cantina.
Nice.
And there's a bit where Grievous is basically trying to capture him, and there's a bit of the hammerhead guy just starts going, shouting really loud, and everything starts falling apart because apparently they've got about 5 throats, and when they shout, it makes things like crumble, like in Akira or something.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. And then there's another guy, he's definitely from the cantina, but it's a bit hard to describe him. And he just kind of talks, but he's kind of. It's really good, I'd really recommend that. And it ends with the opening scene of the third film.
Okay.
Which is quite cool, I thought. And then, so you can watch that, you know, if you felt inclined to, you could watch that as a fourth part of the prequels, and arguably, for me, it's the way the best.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, and it looks fucking sweet as well.
Yeah. You've saw me, Jim. That's totally new to me. I was only aware of the 10-minute little short clip bits.
Yeah,
I'm into that.
You can, and it's on YouTube, okay? Just type in 2D Clone Wars, because Lucas swept it under the carpet. He's not bothered about you fucking having it for free. So just type in 2D Clone Wars and it'll be a 2-hour fucking clip. The first hour will give you a headache because it's 10 minutes short, so action all the way. But once you hit the hour mark, it's basically a Star Wars film.
Sweet.
But watch it all, but just be aware that, you know, it's essentially punchy shorts for the first hour. What more can I say, McVeigh?
You've said enough, son. I kind of want to stop doing this and watch that now.
Oh, mate, if you want to watch it later, I'd fucking happily watch it.
No, we've got other shit to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
But, that's... Well, I will bear that in mind, man.
You should do it. You should do it.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
So that brings us up to episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah,
2005.
Okay. Best of the prequels for me, I'd say.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Good Ian McDermott film, The Old Emperor. He shines in it, I think.
Yeah, he finally does something. Anakin gets a fucking haircut that's alright.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to punch him for that.
Yeah, Anakin gets a bit darker and cooler.
Yeah, kills a bunch of kids.
Still a bit of a knob, but...
Oh, it's just a bell end. Big bell end. Is the kid killing it in Attack of the Clones?
No. I mean, they left it way too late. He doesn't become Vader till right at the end.
No, but, like, he still does bad shit before he becomes Vader, doesn't he?
Yeah, but it's in the last half hour or so.
When they initiate, what's it called? Something 66.
Section 43 or
some shit like that. And that's when all the clone troopers get the message to turn on everyone that they're with.
Yeah, yeah.
So Yoda's like, I see what's going on here, pieces the fuck out.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
on Kashyyyk, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And everyone else gets fucking, like, Ki-Adi Mundi, who was one of my favourite Jedi dudes who didn't really have much to do. He has a big conehead with a little wispy on top.
Conehead guy.
Yeah.
Does he get waxed?
Yeah, he's there, like hanging out with a lot of stormtroopers and doing some shit, and then they'll turn on him. It's like, oh, that's fucking shit. And Kit Fisto gets, everyone gets iced.
Yeah.
And that is that in the last 10 minutes, last half hour of.
Half hour, yeah. Right. Yeah. what happens in the last half hour? Fuck all happens for the first three.
I can't remember the first bit. All I remember is it's quite brutal, like Anakin's gradual arm here, leg there, and then he's just burning. It's fucking, it's quite harsh, if I recall.
I remember our friend Kieran shared a good story where...
K-Dog.
Yeah, the old K-Dog went to see it, and the scene where Samuel L. Jackson, who, to be honest, pissed me off a bit in those films, because he just shouts a lot, and he's very pious and big-headed and annoying, where the Emperor just fucking zaps him to death. And then Anakin and the Emperor take him down, don't they? And
just fucks him off out of the window.
Yeah, apparently Kieran was watching it at the cinema, and at the point where... Mace Windu, isn't it?
Yeah.
When he gets fucking iced, bunch of teenagers behind Kieran burst out laughing. Laughed at his death. Kieran said he made it quite amusing. Sort of,
I remember Sam Jackson in an interview, I think, I'm not going to go with where the quote is exactly from, but it's like, yeah, he was disappointed about having to be killed, but he said to George Lucas that he didn't want to go out like a punk.
Right, okay.
And I think, well, as I say it, getting blasted with electricity and fucked off out of a window does sound pretty badass. It still came across as a bit, that's not the way that he should have died. For someone who was so, pious and so, so confident in how he was always right.
Yeah.
He should have had a better death.
The cartoons I mentioned, his character comes across very well in those cartoons. Good. He might even be in voicing them, actually.
Okay.
So if not, it's someone very very similar voice actor.
Right.
It comes across a lot more cooler, I thought.
Okay.
Excuse me, sorry, I keep burping. Oh,
it's okay. You're full of fizzy...
Full of gas.
Fizzy magic pop.
I can't breathe.
Full of magic pop.
Yeah, I thought the end fight was shit. They promised it'd be amazing, and it was shit.
Yeah, because we'd heard legends about how this fight was supposed to go down.
Yeah,
a planet of fire, and some awesome shit's happening. Yeah, it was a bunch of twatting about on fucking hopped here, hop there, jump. Yeah, oh, don't land there because you'll fall. I'm gonna stand and watch you anyway. My best friend of 20 years. I'm just going to let you trickle down there, let you burn a bit.
And it all turned into a computer game very quickly.
Very much so, yeah.
Dancing around some fucking lava on some fucking flame robots. Because I remember in the 80s, some kid at my school was like, oh, yeah, Jim, James at the time, Vader's all in that outfit. Well, it was because Obi-Wan fought him before Star Wars. Threw him in some acid and he's all fucked up, and that's why he kills Obi-Wan. And I was like, shit, man, that sounds well cool.
Yeah.
And I'd waited so long I never thought I'd see that battle, and when I did, I kind of wished I hadn't.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And fucking Vader at the end.
No!
I remember another friend saying, oh, I always thought Vader was a badass. It turns out he's a fucking knob.
Yeah.
Which summed up the end of that film pretty well.
Well, I like Ain't It Cool News?
Sorry,
the website Ain't It Cool News.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Each of the writers on there, they have their own little little cartoon image of what they are. And there's a guy, I can't remember his name, but I think it might be Masterworm, but I might be wrong, but regardless of that. But his icon is him with a beard, but in the Vader outfit, going, no! and he's got like a middle finger that's a red lightsaber. No! So that was a nice touch.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Excellent.
So yeah, Revenge of the Shit. Let's get that out of the way.
It could have. I mean, it had its moments. Yeah. Of the three, it's probably my favourite.
Do you know?
I own it actually on DVD.
Do you?
Yeah.
If I had to pick one now, I'd probably go with Attack of the Clones. Oh, hang on.
Okay.
But can we go back to Sith? General Grievous.
Yeah, Grievous, cool, yeah, excellent.
Another fucking wasted villain.
Yeah. He got half an hour on screen, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, granted, he was trying to bat in a wheelie thing for quite a bit of it, but his whole design was fucking impressive, and the fact that he had stolen lightsabers from the Jedi's that he'd taken out, and he was really nothing more but a fucking pair of eyes and some hacking lungs. He had a terrible cough.
Yeah.
I really liked everything about General Grievous, and...
He's a good character.
Yeah, again, just fucking... He looked cool. He could do some stuff, and then let's fuck him off.
Well, you like
with the original trilogy, we've got Darth Vader for all fucking three.
Yeah,
and that was enough for some people. Each of those three villains, Jango Fett, Grievous, and Maul, are infinitely far more interesting to me as baddies than Darth Vader. Darth Vader never scared me as a kid.
Oh, that's bullshit.
No, it's not.
Fuck you, my guy.
But for three films...
Take that shit back.
For three films...
Jango Fett's better than Darth Vader.
Yeah.
That's like saying...
He looked cooler.
That's like saying Gary Barlow's cooler than Kurt Cobain.
That's not like saying that at all.
That's like saying the
guy
from...
That, you just said that, and I'm going to edit the fucking snippet that starts this message off just so it says, you going, Gary Barlow is Kurt Cobain.
That's like the guy from... that's like saying fucking Rick Witter's cooler than Lemmy.
I'd say Lemmy's considerably cooler.
R.I.P. Lemmy, by the way.
Yeah, R.I.P. Lemmy.
A drink to that guy. Fucking A.
Fucking hell. Yeah,
so we'll play. So we're on to episode 4, New Hope.
New Hope. I've never liked
there's,
a New
there's
Hope.
There's no hope for McVeigh after that comment.
Oh yeah, it's going to get worse. Son. I've never liked a New Hope.
Never.
Never.
What the fuck?
I just thought.
Fuck
yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. You
I would soon. I, I'm,
come
this,
on.
The, I'm
what,
going,
when you were little, I'm, you didn't like New Hope.
I had no choice when I was little. I also liked doing a bunch of other fucking mediocre shit when I was little.
What didn't
it was
you like
on,
about
it, like, it was on at Christmas. I never saw it at the cinema. So
didn't you fancy Princess Leia?
No. Well, no. It was always something that was just all right, and it was on, and I never really got into it as a kid because it was a film that came out when I was minus three.
Yeah,
so
I was minus one, I guess.
So when I finally saw it would be on TV at Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was all Jedi based. I was into it because of Jedi by then.
Yeah, yeah.
But whenever I see the first Star Wars, I'm like, depending on my mood, this might sound controversial, sometimes I might rather watch Attack of the Clones.
It's, I must admit...
I think it gets far too much respect for what it was responsible for, as opposed to what it is.
I think what I'd say now is, it's a much tougher watch now, because, like, partly because all that shit fucking Lucas slung at it, in the 90s.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which made it,
do you know,
dog shit for me.
Yeah, like, I don't think we should even cover that.
Yeah, taking that away. I mean, I did have in the early 90s they put out a letterbox VHS version,
widescreen as it was meant to be seen.
And had Alien as well. I just had Star Wars and Alien, and it was a really cool little package.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just white and black mainly, and it looked beautiful. And this was obviously pre dog shit, nice fucking pre PS1 style Jabba.
This is fucking pre widescreen tellies. You still like people complain, it's like, why have they put this out in widescreen? It's 20 quid for a video and it's got black bars. I'm like,
oh, you're not showing me on picture, are you?
You don't understand.
Where's that fucking picture of it?
Fucking pan and scan. Do you remember those days? Pan and scan. Fucking hell.
Well, it's a classic.
It is a classic. Yeah.
But
I regard it in the same way that I regard a lot of classics, in that there's enough love for them and a lot of people already enjoying them that I've seen it and it didn't mean that much to me, so I don't need to see it.
What I'd say is it gets a fuckload better when Han Solo and Chewie show up.
Is that right?
Up until that point, I'm not really that arsed. And then they show up and suddenly feels like the film really begins.
Okay.
And shit starts happening. And then from that point on, it's...
Are you talking about Force Awakens?
What?
I'm joking.
Yeah, it's kind of... I don't know, I'll be honest, of the three classics, it's the one I'd least want to watch.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to get across.
Yeah, a lot of that hangs on what Lucas fiddling with it. Lucas messing with his little boy in the shower or whatever. You know what I mean?
He's my son, I'll do what I want to him.
Lucas touching a little boy's willy.
Just a disclaimer, Meat for the Beast is in no way implying that George Lucas is a nonce.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to clarify.
Celluloid nonce.
Celluloid nonce. What we're implying.
That would be a great episode title. Sorry, Lloyd Nance.
The film that he sired, he decided to fuck with. Because it was his film. So fair play.
Just to remind you, we have been drinking today, in case anyone's not noticed.
I tell you what.
George Lucas is a badass anyway, isn't he? La-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, there was a Thug Life with some guy from Jurassic Park.
It's Frank Marshall, isn't it?
Okay.
I think it's Frank Marshall.
He gave, well, you tell us. That you,
Frank Marshall's a big ambler. I can't remember what Lucas says to him.
Yeah.
But
I know. Go on.
But Frank Marshall comes up to him after Lucas has been doing a soundbite, and I think he's at the Jurassic World premiere or something.
Yeah.
And Frank Marshall comes up to him.
No, he's at the Force Awakens, but the
is he?
But the Jurassic World guy's there, comes up to him, gives him some shit. So like going, Jurassic's number one. Don't forget that, George. George goes, I'll crush you like a bug. Yeah.
He fucking will.
Tell you what, though.
Frank Marshall's, I think he's something to do with Amblin Entertainment. Like, he's in cahoots with Spielberg. So, file up, like,
yeah,
E.T.
Yeah.
Any Spielberg's wank. Like, Indiana Jones. Yeah. Mm. So not that shit, but you know what I mean.
What still stands up from the original, from episode 4? Han, Leia, Chewie, great chemistry. Luke's kind of just... He doesn't have much of a role in it, does he, really? And I think he admits that now as well. It's like, he's just like the fluff for the kids, basically. And as Capaldi said, he's a fucking space hairdresser. Fucking hairdresser. His dad's a robot. His mate's a fucking tinfoil.
Dusty bin.
You know.
Fuck his sister. Fucking hell. Malcolm Tucker's.
It's not a very Scottish friendly episode, this, is it?
Malcolm Tucker's description of Star Wars is the best description of Star Wars I've ever heard.
If we're dissing the Scots.
We're not dissing the Scots.
I'm going to diss some Scots. I'm going to diss the Scottish Clench. You've stole my friend's band name.
Oh my god.
Fuck you, the Scottish Clench.
Yeah, I'd like
we're
to.
We're going
to
come and show you where it's at.
I'll say fuck you, Scottish Clench, as well. Because.
They're never going to hear it.
No. I was mortified to be in a band. Not in a band. I am mortified to be in a band. But I was in a bar in Glasgow and I saw an advert on the wall and I was like, what the fuck?
You set up a band name, it's just common courtesy to. Fucking Google it.
I think it's common sense to Google it as well.
Why wouldn't you?
I know. Granted, we don't have that much of a heavy web presence, but if you type in the Clench.
So you saw that name in Scotland then?
Yeah. And I think. I think
fucking Glasgow! You fucking cunt, you.
You've got a terrible accent.
Fuck you, pal.
I think they just go by Clench. I don't think they have the definite article in front of it.
Okay.
So, like. Okay. We're the Clench.
It does sound a bit cooler, though, to be fair.
How does that sound cooler?
I'm just winding you up.
The Clench is a far better name than Clench.
It has more presence, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was just winding
you up. I know. I'm not getting wound up. I'm going for a wee, though.
Okay, talking about band names, the friends Jez and Daniel just setting up a band. And I've been suggesting a few names, which has been kind of fun. It's kept a doorman going over Christmas.
Really? What have you come up with?
I came up with Ruby Doomsday. Thought it was all right.
Not bad.
I stole one from Adam and Joe. Jihad Away.
Jihad Away?
I don't think they'll be getting many gigs with that.
I don't think so.
What else was... A good one was Jez is a Roswell Dogs fan.
Yeah.
I came up with Cabot's Book, which is Joe Cabot, you know, at the start. He's like, Toby Chew, Toby whatever.
I
thought that was quite a cool name.
That's not too bad.
It was thrown back at me.
Have they decided on one yet?
No, and the best one, which would definitely get them no gigs, was some of the raccoons. There was that. Cyril sneered.
It was all quite peaceful, serene until Bert Raccoon woke up.
Yeah. It was the baddie was Cyril Sneer.
Yeah.
I came up with Cyril Smear Test. I definitely guarantee to get
zero.
You less than one gig a year.
Fucking hell.
thought, what a fucking gig it'd be. So if the FOBs ever come back, we'll definitely have a song with that title, I reckon.
A Cyril Smear test.
But do you remember, like, he'd always have a heart-to-heart with his knobhead dweeb son. Like, Cyril would poison the river, and then at the end he'd just hug his geeky son, and everything would be forgiven. It's like, what about all that shit you've just caused, Cyril, you fucking money-grabbing cunt?
What are the raccoons doing? And what the fuck
I can't
was
even
Cyril's...
remember what the fuck.
What the fuck, what the fuck was Cyril Snare? I'm just picturing a pink dude with a bent nose.
Yeah.
What the fuck was he? Like the raccoons, that's clearly an animal. What the fuck was Cyril Snare?
Maybe look, some sort of anteater or something.
Really? I don't know.
It didn't look much like one there, did it?
I'm going to go with a Tory.
But Vegas gets political.
Get political.
On the pod. I'd like to say, if we do have any Conservative voters listening... go fuck yourself. Fuck off and die.
Well, don't die.
We don't want you. Yeah, we can say, yeah. Don't be a cunt, anyway.
I like it, fucking hell.
Do you remember that? Sorry, you get political, but the recent there was a woman on Question Night.
Who's sorry, going, do you mean time?
Sorry, Question Time, yeah. No, Question.
What the fuck's Question Night?
Three boss questions.
That's Question Time.
Okay. She was going, I voted Tory. I voted Tory. I work hard. And now they've screwed me as well.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
So you voted selfishly, and the selfish party you voted for decided to turn on you, and we're supposed to feel sorry for you.
No, we don't feel sorry for her. It's just lesson learned, isn't it? She'll now go elsewhere.
So fuck you and your children. I work hard.
Keep working,
not
bitch.
Not hard enough, love.
Keep working,
don't
bitch.
Don't work hard enough. 60 hours a week.
Get it out, fucking pit.
It's cut to commercial. Well, after that shocking derailment into anti-Tory propaganda, let's go back with Empire Strikes Back. Came out in the year of my birth. So, obviously...
1982, 81?
80.
82, you're right, okay.
Pretty sure it was 80.
No, that sounds about right, yeah.
So too young to see it.
No hair on your balls.
What?
No hair on your balls.
No hair on... Yes, no hair on your balls. No balls. They were still up there. Just a little flaccid... Shut up. Yeah, Empire Strikes Back. That was fun. It's where Star Wars... I don't think it's unfair to say Star Wars came into its own.
Exactly, yeah.
By making us give a shit about that fucking space hairdresser and his sister.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I've not seen Empire in fucking ages.
Okay. I saw it about a week ago.
Hey!
And good. Holding up very, very well. Yeah, because I actually didn't see it till I was about 11, you know. Because I missed it on cinema because I was only about 2 when it came out.
Right.
And then, for some reason, it wasn't on British TV for fucking years. And, like, my folks weren't exactly techno wizards, you know.
Right.
My mum's still scared of the remote.
Okay.
She spent $2,000 on a piece of shit TV I couldn't talk her out of buying. Yeah, so we didn't have a VHS till about fucking 89 or something. So, yeah.
That's tantamount to child abuse, man. Certainly neglect.
Yeah. So, yeah, the first time I saw it was definitely late 80s. I'd obviously seen Jedi. I was about 5 when Jedi came out. I won't go into Jedi.
But... Well, I kind of don't want to get into Jedi, but I think I kind of need to because Jedi was the first... I did see that at the cinema.
Right, cool.
As a child, in the first 10 years of my life, I saw Jedi and then I saw Empire Strikes Back on TV. I'm going to go with on Christmas. Do you remember Christmas? Like, they'd have like a little hotline number at the bottom, Christmas Care Line, if you wanted to donate to people... Scroll along the bottom of the TV.
Right.
Do you know that? On ITV.
Don't remember that.
They told you throughout films, it was quite distracting, especially when I taped them.
Right.
I'm pausing out the adverts, but I can't find a way of getting rid of this fucking scrolling charity number.
I'll donate to Little Billy.
I was like 9. I had no concept of charity.
Bloody hell. It's been pedo-fiddled.
by Darth Vader fans.
But yeah, so that was all distracting. So yeah. It took me a while to piece it all together.
Got a Blu-ray collection, and I think of the three, it's the least damaged by Lucas's meddling.
That's good.
In the 90s, or he's continued to meddle, hasn't he? But it's just Bespin. He keeps throwing in pointless shit, like something that should just be a plain circle in the background has to have some shit. It's a window now, and it has some shit flying past.
Right.
And it's like, so what? Or like some stupid lift going up and down. Wow. The back, and it's like, yeah, okay,
really adding great. To things.
Yeah, we needed that, like George, cheers. Yeah. And someone else's fucking film, because Irving Kirshner directed it.
Exactly.
It's basically a Han Solo Vader film, and Luke goes dark, doesn't he? Luke kind of goes on a voyage of exploration, and I think it's the real...
Well, it's good, it gives him something to fucking do.
Yeah. And I think they all come into the end. Princess Leia gets a bit more of a... She's a bit more well... Everyone gets well-rounded in the second one.
Yeah.
Even Vader, you know, shows his heart in the second one.
And he shows some that badass, you know, like... Doesn't Han shoot him and he just fucking deflects it with a wave of his hand?
Yeah, fucking badass shit. So, I don't think we need to big up Empire too much, because anybody with a fucking brain
probably
knows it's the winner.
I think
so. We'd be fools to bang on about
it.
Yeah,
you've seen it, you like it.
Yeah, it's good shit. Slightly marred by Boba Fett now going, "Oh, put him in me fucking ship there, mate."
Really? Does it?
Well, Boba Fett used to have some cool, "Put him in my ship." No, I don't know. Why did he talk?
I have no idea. That's the thing.
Right.
My most recent experience of Boba Fett is on fucking Robot Chicken.
Right.
where he's just some sassy pimp motherfucker. Falls down the Sarlacc pit and he's stuck there with that other dick. What am I going to do?
Oh yeah, whichever actor played Boba Fett. I did a gig for... I did an album cover.
Jeremy something?
I don't know.
Oh, we can find this.
Here we go, McVeigh. It's like my younger sister on that fucking phone. You know.
Look, I'm trying to make sure that the Meat for the Beast is accurate in its sweeping statements. That's all I'm saying.
Because it was all made at Pinewood, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
The original three, I believe, apart from the obviously Forest of Endor, wasn't exactly shot in.
Jeremy Bullock plays Jeremy Bullock.
I did a EP cover for a band called Volcanoes, and the singer, Samson. Shout out to Samson and Volcanoes.
Hello.
Samson was telling me his mum lives next door to Boba Fett.
Okay.
How cool is that?
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. So hats off to Samson and his mum. Yeah, so anyway, Empire's badass. Empire. Ends on a total fucking downer.
Yeah, good.
In a good way. And leads us nicely into Return of the Jedi.
The first film I saw.
Vey fucking loves a teddy bear.
Fucking love them teddy bears. No wrong with them. There's no beef. I've got no beef with the Ewoks. Even today, I don't have a problem with them. They're not obnoxious. They're actually quite helpful. They get taken in by that Mincy Butler, and you know it's fine.
Oh, but C-3PO.
Yeah, he lets them believe that he's their god.
Oh, yeah, that's a bit outrageous.
It's fucking outrageous, that. Because he's clearly not. It's an abuse of an indigenous people. And he's like, yeah, we'll use it to our own gain.
I know fucking Spock wouldn't have stood for that.
Fuck no. No prime directive in this fucking universe, is there? It's outrageous.
Spock would have totally got toasted on that barbecue in the name of...
Just being logical. He'd be happy to do it. Yeah.
I've got a Spock, little Spock sits in my studio every day.
I've got a Spock on my back. I'm trying to get it.
Yeah, Jedi. I did like Luke in Jedi. I think it's Luke's film.
Yeah, he's got a better arc.
Yeah. When he first arrives, he's well cool.
Yeah.
He's got that hood up and he's just strangling... fucking Gamorrean guards and doing weird shit.
Yeah, like a badass.
And using his mind tricks.
Interesting how he goes from like across those three films, he goes from wearing like white to wearing like beigey grey and then black.
Yeah.
He's totally in black in Jedi, ain't he?
Yeah.
Badass.
Well, apparently in the original script he was rumoured, I think he was going to turn to the dark side.
Right.
And then...
Well, I could buy that.
Yeah, that would have been cool, because the comics I used to read, Dark Empire, like, actually had him go whole hog and read his dark books, read the Emperor's dark books. I wish he had. No, it's definitely Luke's film. Luke shines big time, and you know, Han's more of a support character in it, and it's the Luke Vader story, Jedi, I think, even and Leia as well.
Yeah, and
it's those three really, isn't it? Jedi, I think, and your teddy bears.
Teddy bears are good. Boba Fett gets taken out by like a chump, just falls down the fucking sound like pit. That's pretty lame. That's pretty shit.
Yeah,
like why? Like, can we just on Boba Fett for a character who literally does very fucking little?
Yeah.
Why is it? It's the armor that gets him that respect. He doesn't do much. He has very little dialogue. He gets fuck all chance to shine. Yeah. And I guess now we know that he's the son of. Is he the son of Jango? So he's just a little pissed off little dickhead.
Yeah, well, that's if you count. I can put that aside though.
Yeah, but even that notwithstanding, that notwithstanding, but what makes him cool? It's the fucking armor.
Just the cool guy. It's like the man with no name.
It's fucking do out. Apart from freeze him in carbonite and take him off to fucking Jabba. Yeah. He doesn't actually do anything. And he gets taken out like a dickhead. Falls down the hole.
He does go down like a fool, doesn't he?
Yeah.
To be fair.
He gets far more respect than he deserves.
He's coming back though, apparently.
Good.
He's getting his own film, I heard. Which is really cool.
I imagine that might be in the Solo Han Solo movie.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because next year we've got...
How the fuck's that going to... Spoiler alert.
No.
Spoiler alert, turn off if you don't want to hear this shit.
No, not spoiler alert.
Okay.
Because next year we've got... We've had Force Awakens. Next Christmas we've got Rogue One.
Okay, yeah.
Then the year after that we'll have Episode 8. The year after that, in theory, I think we're having the Han Solo movie. About the adventures of a young Han Solo.
Young Han Solo, okay.
Yeah.
And is he going to come across Boba Fett as a young man?
I can imagine, because even though Boba Fett doesn't get much shit to do, he does strike me that he's got beef with Han Solo.
Yeah. It'd be nice to see how he meets Chewie.
Yes,
that would be an interesting adventure. Yeah. I can imagine Chewie probably starts by kicking his ass.
I just hope they cast someone... for Han Solo, young adventures, I don't want to see some young 20-year-old. I want to see someone late 20s. Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad, or some of
I can't really see him as Han Solo.
No, I'm trying to think of an age range. Adam Driver's age range.
Yeah.
Someone of that ilk. Yeah. Be quite happy with that.
The only guy it's been bandied about, but that Chris Platt guy feels a bit Solo, but a bit too jovial.
I think a bit too jovial and a bit too big, actually.
What do you mean?
He looks a little bit too tall and a little bit too ripped. Solo's not.
He's got his fucking.
I watched Guardians of the Galaxy the other day, and I've seen Jurassic World. Chris Pratt is a big guy, and he's ripped.
Like this guy I saw recently in John Lewis with a fucking tape measure measuring the TVs, and it tells you the fucking width, tells you the diameters and shit underneath it.
Really?
In front of his lady, he was like measuring them out. Surprised he didn't bring a hammer along to tap the screen. Test for durability.
Fucking hell.
But his missus looked really chuffed with him. Like he was some like handyman badass. Measure the shit out of that screen.
Jesus, I don't believe what that sign says, so let's measure it ourselves.
Took a fucking tape measure. Fair play.
No, not fair play. Fuck that guy. And his woman. So yeah, Jedi, I think it gets a little bit too much diss for the Ewoks, and let's be honest, they don't really ruin it. They don't ruin it in a Jar Jar way or Child Anakin way. They just add a child-friendly element that I found non-offensive. I continue to find non-offensive as a grown man.
I was certainly at the right age for it when it came out. I thought they were great.
Me too.
And I had fucking Chief Chirper and all those dickheads.
Yeah, Wicket.
Also,
where did they get fucking names from? Because they don't get names in the film, do they?
Well, it was all a big toy advert by that point now, wasn't it?
True enough. Yeah.
And who was the other guy? There's Medicine Man. Obviously, Wicket.
Wicket W. Warwick, for some reason.
Yeah.
Where'd he get that from?
Warwick Davis.
Oh, no, but that was his name, Wicket W. Warwick.
Really?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Quick Warwick Davis story.
Yeah.
A company I did a bit of work for called MapMe
right.
in Macclesfield did an app for Warwick Davis.
An app for him?
Yeah, right. Like there was something called Pocket Warwick.
Right.
They put this app out and you know, on the back of all that Ricky Gervais shit he did.
Yeah.
I heard he was coming and I got the opportunity to go and I thought, nah, I'll look like a fucking knob showing up with shit to sign and they're not going to be, the boss guys aren't going to be happy if I show up with my fucking dick in my hand trying to kiss Warwick's ass.
I'm pretty sure they, go on.
They don't want me to show. By that point, I'd been gone for about a year because I just did a 6-month contract or something. And but one guy, you know, shout out to Rob Bolt. Rob Bolt's a big, I'm sure he was into Star Wars, but also he had a box set of The Leprechaun.
And again, a box set?
against company orders, Rob brought his, at a crucial hour, pulled out his fucking Leprechaun box set
for
Warwick. And well, Warwick, it sounds like Warwick was chuffed about it. And he like put a photo on Facebook of the box set and Warwick had written, "You're after me, Lucky Charms." Something like that. Leave me pot of gold alone, Rob.
That's respect you.
Yeah,
to Warwick Davis and for that guy for filing company orders.
Fair play to Rob.
And getting a fucking, for owning a box set of the fucking Leprechaun.
I don't think it was bought, you know, for that event. I think it had been sat there for a few years. So yeah. Hats off to Rob for that shit.
Jesus.
Yeah, I imagine it even had Leprechaun in the hood in it.
Well, that's
come for the land, dear. Lep in the hood come to do no good.
That's the best one, isn't it?
So,
fucking hell.
We've not said much about Jedi, but I think we can both agree it's a good film. I was in with the shitty George Lucas 90s bullshit they put on it. You lost fucking sliced noodles, didn't you?
Oh, the fucking
Max Rebo.
The fucking end when it's a fucking a party across the galaxy, fireworks on Coruscant and shit,
and it turns into some fucking blowpipe bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, it's, yeah. It's
worth. Weapon 2. It's yup, worse. Yup. I thought you were going to join in now.
Don't
you like Ewoks?
That was good.
You clown.
I was quite happy enjoying you do that.
And there's this pretty dark scene where they're playing that song and they're like, one of them starts going digga, 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 across helmets of the troopers and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, is there fucking heads in there or what?
I know, yeah. That's pretty heavy.
These hollow sounds of drum beats. Okay, we're back. It's the following day. We're both a bit hungover, lost a little bit because the laptop pissed me around.
Don't mind, we'll do it again, sound fresh.
Yeah. So we're talking about Force Awakens.
I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah.
Big grin on my face. I was a bit pissed when I watched it because I've been on my work's Christmas party. But I powered through and it held my attention. And yeah, it was fun and a hell of a romp. And it had so much to do and I think it did the best it could. No real grievances.
Yeah.
Or grievousness.
It felt like a pretty big win for me. I certainly got the vibe everyone in there seemed to be having a good time and a lot of smiles when I was leaving. And
it was good.
Buzz.
At the end of ours, we just went to a basic 2D screening at midnight and at the end of ours, one solitary dude ignited his lightsaber as the credits rolled. And I think a few of us applauded. Nice touch.
Brilliant. Yeah, it actually felt like more of an event than just a film because I think releasing it around Christmas was a stroke of genius because it didn't get drowned in the summer blockbusters, did it?
Exactly.
It was just, fuck you, here's a Star Wars film.
I think when the prequels were all summer films, weren't they?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
The first two certainly were.
Yeah. So it's a nice. That was a good move, I reckon.
Yeah.
Because it's not like over Christmas, I don't normally find myself going to the flicks.
No, me neither. Because it's usually Christmas shite.
Yeah, it's normally like Jingle Bells, some bullshit, or whatever.
But Krampus was also good, but we've covered that.
Yeah. I think my only moans were like there's still a couple of CG characters, both of which annoyed me. But it was pretty minimal, you know?
Yeah.
It's mainly what you'd want to see, really.
Definitely.
And
I think it's the most fun I think Star Wars has been in that there's actual genuine humour in it, and it's not played for laughs. But there's things that are just genuine chuckle worthy. Yeah, and like, it's nice and gentle stuff. That
should say this, we're gonna get spoilerific. So just if you've not seen it yet, maybe don't listen to this.
Yeah. Or stop listening.
Yeah, you'd be wise to.
I think Han using Chewie's crossbow gun.
Yeah.
And after all these years, he's like, "Oh shit, this is actually a pretty decent yeah. at all."
Yeah, it was a good script, wasn't it?
Oh, I see.
There's lots of Han and Chewie. It felt like you were watching a Han and Chewie film.
Yeah.
Not like some old guy trying to be something he used to be. It was like, it did actually feel like an old Han Solo.
Yeah.
And
I think I was worried about that. When you're hearing like reports of him breaking his leg, it's like, fucking hell, he really doesn't want to do this, does he? He's crumbling as he makes it.
Yeah, I think Indy 4 didn't help, did it? Like,
no.
After seeing him embarrass himself in that.
I don't think it was the fault with that wasn't Harrison Ford, though. It was Lucas wanking all over it.
Right. The look was a bit wrong. Like, he should have grown a fucking beard for Indiana Jones. He would have looked cool as fuck.
I agree.
An old man beard.
Yeah.
But I like the new cast. I thought pretty well cast. Did a good job.
Absolutely.
Moving things forward.
Yeah.
So
Finn brought some heart. Kylo Ren brought some badass angst.
Fucking A, yeah. Great new buddy.
I think he's a great buddy. And I thought they were fine to take his mask off when they did. Yeah. I think a lot of people had issues with that. But right. No, that's fine by me. And BB-8 exuding far more personality than fucking tinfoil and dusty bin over there.
Yeah, I almost felt like annoyed when C-3PO showed up.
Cause me too.
It just felt like, oh, it's that knobhead. I lost association with the prequels more than the original three now.
Shit.
It just annoys me. Yeah. It's like, oh God, fuck off.
Yeah, fucking...
this campy routine that forced, I don't know.
Yeah, and R2 was just fucking in a bit of a strop. Like, just plug him in. I'm pretty sure he's got a computer there. I'm sure he can get it out without waking him up.
They should have just left the fucking rag over him, stuck with BB-8.
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been fine by me. Good flashback sequence. Remember the lightsaber bit? She touches the saber and there's the weird flashback.
Yeah. I don't remember much of what I saw.
Yeah.
I was drunk.
Yeah. There's one bit where she's in the corridor in Bespin where there's the Vader-Luke fight. And,
ooh.
And yeah, and then you see the butchered Jedis with, you know, the Knights of Ren.
Right.
Looking forward to seeing more of those guys in the future. Okay. But I've got a crazy theory. Two crazy theories, McVeigh.
Go on.
Number one, I watched it a second time with Melissa the other day, and I noticed a lot more clues that Kylo Ren might become good.
Yeah.
It's throughout the film, he's constantly talking about being torn and... And he almost gives his lightsaber away to Solo at the crucial moment. Just when the sun goes down, he seems to go evil again. But it was a little bit like, yeah, fuck.
I'm
thinking... maybe they're going to do the inverse Vader story.
Yes.
I think...
that would be good because part of what was... like, part of the, one of the only major problem with this is that it kind of... it follows the same plot points of, like, the first one. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Here's some stuff and there's a big round base. Let's destroy it.
Didn't know. I mean, it's sort of a reboot in a way, isn't it?
Yes. So
I can live with that.
Yeah, I'm just... I'm not. Yeah. No, it's not a diss. It's just an observation.
Yeah. Professor Yaffle over here.
Fucking. Well, you kept me up fucking watching Punisher 3, whatever.
Yeah, so I could see that being the inverse Vader story where he ends up being more the Skywalker in the future. I kept noticing in Rey, like whenever she fights, she's got this really angry look, and then especially with the saber battle. There's lots of downward swings, like getting the end of Empire with Vader.
It's badass, like, vengeance.
Yeah, it's like a very angry Sith style of fighting.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering whether they'll take her. And she seems stronger than Kylo, didn't she? So.
She did. She seemed very impressive, considering she just picked up the fucking lightsaber.
Yeah, yeah.
And where did Finn learn to wield one?
I love that end battle. It was nice. I think part of the moan of prequels is that people jump around a lot and there's a lot of silly business in the air. And
that's the thing, this looked like, I know it's, you know, it's heavily enhanced and stuff, but it did feel considerably more real. It felt like Star Wars, and it felt organic, I guess.
Exactly, yeah.
So yeah, very pleased with that. It just looked and felt great.
There's one pretty dark bit where, you know, the saber edges of Kylo's lightsaber, they like burn into Finn's shoulder, and you see it kind of burn his jacket, and he's going wah, wah, and she wakes up and sees like the blur of him getting freaking fried.
Yeah.
And I was sat behind two little kids. I was thinking, fucking hell, like, this is pretty disturbing for little ones.
Heavy shit.
So yeah, that was pretty full on. I certainly enjoyed it.
Yes. Did Melissa enjoy it?
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she was very upset. I mean, we've done the spoiler warning, so I don't think we have to worry too much, but, you know, Han Solo's death.
Yeah.
She was crying her eyes, proper bawling her eyes out.
Aww.
There were tears coming down under the IMAX glasses.
Bloody hell.
And I tried to comfort her, and I said, "You all right?" And she goes, "Han Solo's dead. I don't want him to die." So that was New Year's Eve. We saw it again. I'd seen it a second time, and then we consoled her by putting The Fugitive on.
Good, good.
Night, which is a great one. Are you a fan of The Fugitive?
I do like The Fugitive, yeah. Not seen it in years, but yeah, I've always liked that.
Holds up really well.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I think its only issue is...
It wasn't me, it was the one I met.
I'm not trying to build a jigsaw here. Well, I am. And I just found a big piece. Yeah, I think its only issue is his best mate is a baddie in every film he's been in, so it's kind of like, I don't know, it's flagpole or whatever, that it's like, yeah, okay, I wonder who's behind all this shit.
Yeah. True enough.
Sorry, just spoiled another film.
I think we're going to have to spoil one after that.
It's about 25 years old by now, isn't it?
Fucking hell.
I like the bit, he also joins, at one point he's trying to get away and he joins the St. Pat's parade in Chicago.
Yeah.
And there's a write up in the Irish Times saying, "Kimbo must be some lad to join the parade like that." And he's got a little green leprechaun hat on.
Badass.
Fair play. A yearly roundup. What are your highlights of the year, McVeigh? In terms of.
Sticks in my head.
Films.
I think Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
A fine beast. Star Wars, fresh in my head.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of an honourable mention for Michael Mann's Black Cat.
Okay.
Which came out in, I think, February. It tanked. It got... I don't think it did critically that well, but it's just pure fucking cinema. And it's just some badass... It just looks good, and it feels good, and it doesn't matter whether X, Y, and Z made sense, because it's a new Michael Mann joint, and they're few and far between.
Cool.
Raise a glass to that.
Is it better than that Miami Vice shit? Oh,
no, it's not better than Miami Vice, you dick. It's fucking amazing, Miami Vice, shut up.
I'm only winding you up.
I saw
one the other night. I was telling McVeigh about that. I think that was this year, and it's called The Carrier, with John Cusack in it.
Yep.
That was really worth a mention, because I had no idea what the fuck it was. Like the description, it's Cusack back in a hitman role. He's asked to take a package to a motel rather than just hang around.
Okay.
And then when he gets there, he finds out there's a bunch of people seem to be there to get what he's got.
Ooh.
And I think that's all you need to know, really. It was a good...
I think it's just appeared on Netflix. It struck me as one of those weird films that has big stars in that. If there was video shops, it would go straight to video. Do you know what I mean? It looked like that.
It's certainly a good-looking flick. It's pretty nasty as well. Wouldn't surprise me if it's an 18.
I'm going to bloody check it out.
Have a bloody look. Yeah, it's well worth a peep. Yeah, for me, Mad Max Fury Road, I think I've got to give that film of the year.
Should we give that the Beast seal of approval for the year? The Beast film of the year?
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
But plaudits to Force Awakens and Jurassic World for a strong performance also.
Yeah.
Any other films you want to mention? Oh, Turbo Kid. That was a good one. That was this year, wasn't it?
I didn't see Turbo Kid.
Oh, Xbox.
I haven't watched a lot of shit this year.
Full.
I've had a rubbish year,
get
mate.
Get that shit out of here.
I had a rubbish year. Yeah.
Oh, I could add the sound of some violins here if you want.
Oh, that'd be good, yeah. Glad to see the back of it.
A few fallen heroes, fallen badasses like King Christopher Lee, Leonard Nimoy, now Lemmy's gone.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Some guy from the Lost Boys died recently.
Yes, yeah, the one with the hair. Mm.
Bass player from the Specials went, I heard.
The drummer.
Oh, maybe, right, okay.
The Specials were shit, weren't they? So I went,
oh, outrageous. Outrageous.
Terrible.
I've got a message to you, McVeigh. The middle finger.
Middle finger.
No.
Shit.
Okay, any. Read any good graphic novels or anything?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
But you have, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I've not read that much this year, but yeah, I'll have to give that John Romita Jr., The Men of Tomorrow book, my seal of approval.
Oh, yeah, actually.
It's probably the only one I've read in quite a while. But.
I haven't read a graphic novel, but I did read
Miami Vice
Remix, which is a work of staggering beauty and, I don't know, migraine-inducing hallucinogenic visuals.
With
just badass stuff going on.
Which you surprised me with a free copy of.
Ooh.
My friend. Yeah.
Yes, so shout out to Joe Casey, is it Joe?
Yeah.
Joe Casey,
yeah,
and Jim Marfood, whose name I can't pronounce.
Yeah, I think it's Marfood.
Marfood, it just doesn't roll off the tongue very well.
I've been reading that. It's all good.
Yeah, that's probably Well, I've not read the graphic novel, but I bought the books when they came out, so I'm going to say that's the graphic novel of the year for me.
Cool.
Music-wise.
You just got your young hipster music, what's it called?
Young hipster stuff, Churches and Kurt Vile.
Yeah, yeah.
Their albums were splendid.
Cool.
Still enjoying those.
Good stuff. Well, how's his main track go, Kurt Vile? Pimpin' or
something? Pimpin'.
Give us a few notes.
We'll get done for like.
You'll have to sing it, as long as we don't like play the original.
When I woke up this morning, didn't recognise the boy in the mirror. And I left and I said, don't see me, that's just me.
What the fuck was that?
That's how it goes.
It's like the Vic Reese version.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to hide it. I'm trying to hide it so we don't get fucking Kurt Vile's lawyers on us. On our ass. Shut up.
I didn't buy any new music. I just bought kind of old shit.
Oh, you didn't buy any music?
Well, I did buy music, but.
Copyright thievery, eh, Jim?
And I've just been listening to old stuff, like a bit of Bowie.
Good.
And, and John Michel. Shit, I haven't really bought anything recent for a while. What can I say? So, yeah.
Well, if there was a lot of good music out there coming out, you'd be buying it, wouldn't you? I've bought that. Those are the first two albums I've had in fucking ages.
It's just harder to find, especially when you work from home, when you're home. I used to be around people all day telling me, check this out, check that out. I'm putting stuff on it at work. That's the downside, I think. You don't get exposed to as much cool shit. It's a bit harder to find.
Yeah.
I suppose Facebook's a way people share stuff, don't they?
Yeah. Also, in fact, we're getting old, Jim. We're getting old. We're not cool. We're not with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe if we frequented hip clubs and read hip magazines, we'd have a clue.
I was going to buy the Goddamn album, and then I thought, I know I'm never going to listen to it, because I wouldn't find the occasion to put it on anymore.
Right.
Because if I drove with it on, I'd probably get carried away and crash the car. So I have to ban myself from driving to Nirvana and stuff like that. But then,
jeez,
I don't know. It would put me off if I was trying to work, and if I was trying to nod off and just listen to something, it'd be totally inappropriate.
Yeah,
so, I don't know. Getting old, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I rely on music to soundtrack everything. Wherever I go for wherever I'm walking, I've got some music on. So I need something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd probably go mental.
I had to stop listening to stuff through headphones because it fucks my ears up, because I've got dodgy ears. So that's probably why.
Get them fucking hosed out, your cloth head twat. get the power suction on there. Oh, there's a big chunk.
Cloth of your twat. We're flagging a bit today, I think.
We are flagging. The banter's not. We should have some booze.
Don't know, that was 2015, I guess.
Yeah. Thanks for sticking with us. if you have.
And so we've got, you know, starting a new year. We'll soon, I think we hit the two-year mark in March, is it?
I think so, yeah.
And then, yeah, 2 years of the Beast. I've been chasing episode, I think next episode will be episode 20.
It will, yeah.
Which I'm looking forward to.
Definitely.
A big landmark. I might get some champagne in for that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Don't go over the board on our couch. I'll do it with some Carver or some Prosecco.
Yeah. Sounds good.
It's just a nice spritzer.
Yeah.
Alright, this has been Meat for the Beast 2015. And thank you for your continued listenership. Yep. Apologies for this starting off as quite a buoyant episode and ending us with a fucking hangover blues and...
Yeah, so yeah, cheers for hope you had a good Crimbo. Sorry we've been a bit behind. I've been a bit behind with the episodes. So, alright. See you in a bit.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I wanted to end with a bit of a Star Warsy tune and immediately thought of a band called Dagobah or Dagobah, who I saw way back in 1998 when I was a student. Now, they were playing a tour. They came through the Star and Garter in Manchester, which at the time was kind of the punk epicentre in Manchester for like your underground punk bands, and lots of little bands from the States that go through there. And Dagobah played one night, played a blinder. And so I looked them up and I managed to find them. They were formed in about 1994 and played for a few years. They got signed to a label called Crackle Records in Leeds. They split up in the late 90s, but they got Single of the Week in Kerrang, beating Marilyn Manson, so that was pretty cool. They released two EPs, appeared on a bunch of punk compilations through the 90s. And they came back apparently in, it looks like 2008, I think. They gave themselves a new name. I presume someone had robbed their old name because it's a really cool name. And they went with the Dagobah 4, or the Dagobah 4. So I've been trying to track these guys down. I've emailed them, I've emailed the label, and it's only been a few days, but I'm quite keen to get this episode up. So I'm doing something I've never done before. I'm gonna bang it up without permission. I've got a feeling they're not going to give a shit. I don't think they're going to mind. If you guys hear this and you do mind, give me a kick up the arse and I'll take it down straight away. But I fucking love this tune. Reminds me of being at uni, reminds me of great times. And I want to dedicate it, this play, to my mate Gaz, who took me to the gig and introduced me to the awesome music of Dagobah. So this is a song off their 7-inch called The Garage Is Off Limits, which you can still get from Crackle Records for just a couple of quid. Okay, so this is a track called Wise as a Wookiee by Dagobah, and the quality is a little bit lo-fi, partly because I ripped it off YouTube, and partly because it sounds like it was maybe recorded on an old 4-track in the kind of mid-90s, you know, pre-digital era, really. So that probably explains it, but I think that lo-fi sound kind of adds to it in a way. So hope you like this. Thanks for listening, and may the force be with you.
Let the millennium falcon, I will never let you down. Let's remain, not always be possible. Turn real.